to look at the promise of God as found in the book of Joshua, which we'll get to shortly. I think for all of us, this year has likely been a year of both tears and smiles, with perhaps more of one than the other. But for all of us who follow Jesus, we can say with the psalm writer, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path," because Jesus has been with us every step of the way. For much of this year, we've been studying Mark's gospel, and it is our intention to continue with Mark later in the new year. Today, I'd like to remind us of something we've already seen in Mark, in chapter 1. Something that Jesus says at the beginning of his public ministry, which I'll read out. It's Mark chapter 1, from the end of verse 14, running into verse 15. "Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is where God's authority is acknowledged and where his rule is perfectly obeyed. When Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled," he was telling us that his coming into the world was the most important and significant event in the history of the world. The time when the Son of God joined his nature to human nature. He joined human flesh and bones. As the Apostle John puts it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand, but not yet complete. The kingdom of God is now, but also not yet. By which I mean that the kingdom of God has come in power, right here, right now, but it will not be brought to completion until Jesus returns at the end of the age, at a time known only to the Father. So in this time of now, but not yet, I want to look at the promise of God, the promise of God for his people to inherit the kingdom of God. And to do that, I'd like to look at the story of Joshua. The story of Joshua is where the people of God begin to inherit the kingdom of God. This morning I'll be looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. And I'll read that out now. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the Lord is speaking to Joshua about the land that he has promised to give to his people. But although it is a gift, the Lord commands Joshua to take hold of it. And he encourages Joshua to be strong and courageous in order to obey the command and to take hold of the gift. I see in this passage that it's speaking to us of our identity and our calling as people who belong to God. I'd like to look at it from that perspective. So we'll begin by looking at our identity. We can see in this passage that Moses is described as the servant of God. And in verse 5, the Lord tells Joshua, just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. So both Moses and Joshua derive their identity from their connection with God, from their relationship with God. And if we are to be people who belong to God, we need to get to know God. We need to know who God is and how he relates to us. And of course, the Bible has much to say about who God is and how we relate to him. The Bible tells us that we were all made by God in his image. Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So in the creation account, the Bible tells us that everything God made was good, but that mankind rebelled against God and creation was spoiled. And our sin brought a separation between us and God. Isaiah the prophet talks about this in chapter 59 of Isaiah, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah writes, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. So mankind rebelled against God, but God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And so the Bible shows us that God has reached out to us. He has revealed himself to us in order to restore us to friendship with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, we read, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the Creator God, who once said, let light shine out of darkness, now says to rebellious mankind, let the light of the knowledge of God shine in darkened hearts. So God reveals himself to us throughout Bible history and supremely through his Son Jesus, as the Bible says, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In this Joshua passage, we see something of the revelation of God to his people. We see something of the vitality of his promise. The Lord summarizes for Joshua the extent of the territory that he intends to give to his people. The promise that God gave to Joshua was preceded by hundreds of years, he made the promise to Abraham. And this promise to Abraham remained certain, even though the possession of the land did not take place immediately. So the promise of God is not diminished by the wait. We can get a sense of the magnitude and the certainty of this promise by noting that it was spoken first to Abraham and then repeated to Isaac and again to Jacob. I think it'd be useful to have a look at that. First, the promise is spoken to Abraham, as we said, 400 years before Joshua and Moses. We can read about this in Genesis chapter 15. In verse 7 we read, "And he said to Abram, I am the Lord who brought you out from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." And then later on in Genesis 15, we read in verses 18 to 21, "On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites." So here we have the extent of the territory that God is giving his people to be possessed. It's spelled out to Abraham. And then later in Genesis, the promise is repeated to Isaac, Abraham's son. This is in Genesis chapter 26, verses 3 to 5. The Lord said to Isaac, "Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands. And I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your offspring all these lands. And in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And after Isaac, the Lord appeared to Jacob and said to him in Genesis chapter 35, verse 12, "The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." So the promise of God is certain, but it came with a test of faith and a wait. These three men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all suffered fears and perplexity on their journey of faith and obedience. But they learned that God was in control of events, and that God was in control of the timing of events. And they also learned that God involves his people. He prepares us, he equips us to take hold of the promise. So these men all played their part in the nation of Israel possessing the promise. And we can see that the roots of this promise to Joshua go deep into Israel's history. So we should notice the timing of when this promise was given to Joshua. We should notice the context. Moses has died. Moses had been the leader of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. He had been the one who brought the word of God to the people. He had been the one who interceded with God on behalf of the people. And he had been the one who responded to their cries for food and water by bringing their needs before God. At the end of the book of Deuteronomy, there's like a testimony or a tribute to Moses that I'd like to read. It's Deuteronomy chapter 34, verses 10 to 12. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. None like him for all the signs and the wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all the land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. So Moses was the one person that Israel relied upon for leadership, for security, for provision. But the people needed to learn that it was not by Moses' hand that they had been kept and guided, but by the hand of the Lord. Moses may die, but God's promise lives on. God's faithfulness and his ability to keep his people is not dependent on any one person. Not on Abraham, not on Moses, not on Joshua, and not on church leaders, not on husbands, not on wives, not on parents, not on children. When all others are taken away, God's promise remains. When we lose a loved one, the sense of loss remains with us. But for believers, alongside this deep sense of loss and sorrow, we have a friend who is closer than any spouse or parent or child. And his grace is always sufficient for every trial. Jesus weeps with us even as he brings us comfort and strength. For Joshua, the Lord says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." So the Lord can say this to Joshua because alongside the promise to inherit the land is the promise to be with Joshua as he was with Moses. And we read in verse 5 that God says to Joshua, "No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, just as I was with Moses." When the Lord first said to Moses, "I will be with you," Moses was far from the awesome, indispensable leader. When the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, we read in Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, "And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God." So the Lord introduces himself to Moses as the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But Moses' faith was too weak to embrace the call of God. Moses pleaded his own inadequacy, and he begged the Lord to send someone else. But as we read on in Exodus, we see that God transformed this fearful Moses into a man of astonishing faith and courage and obedience. The letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament speaks about Moses. In chapter 11, verse 27, we read, "By faith, Moses left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." So the Lord transformed Moses into a man of faith and endurance. And he's doing the same for Joshua. The Lord revealed himself to Joshua as the God who gave a promise to Abraham and Abraham's descendants. And he also revealed himself to Joshua as the God who would never leave him. And this revelation brought assurance to Joshua and a sense of identity. As a true descendant of the promise to Abraham, Joshua belonged to God. And from this place of assurance, Joshua was able to embrace his calling from God. So let's now look at the calling of God for Joshua and by implication to us. So in verse 6, we read that the Lord said to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them." So Joshua is called to lead the people to inherit the land. Now, we may not have such a prominent role as Joshua in the kingdom of God, but we all have an invaluable part to play. And to do that, we are given the same assurance of God's presence with us. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, we read, "Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So our calling is first and foremost to be faithful to God. And the Holy Spirit lives within each follower of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to overcome the love of material possessions. As it says in the Bible here, keep your life free from the love of money. And the Holy Spirit also gives us power to be content with the situation and circumstances God has put us in. As the Bible says, be content with what you have. So whatever situation we find ourselves in today, whatever situation God has put us in today, is no mistake and is not an oversight. However unlikely or difficult our circumstances might appear, God intends to use them for our good, to bring growth in our relationship with Christ. This passage in Joshua shows us that to be content is not a call to inertia, not a call to be passive. To be content is to trust God in our circumstances and to respond to him in his daily leading and guidance. It's an active place to be, being content with God. We see in this passage that Joshua will receive strength and courage in order to take hold of the promise. He will receive this strength and courage by means of regular meditation on the Word of God. In verse 8 we read, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." The book of the law is the Word of God. It's all the teaching and instruction that God gave Moses for the people of Israel to follow. And it's also the stories of how God relates to his people. And today, the Word of God has become the complete Bible for us. Joshua is told that constant, careful absorbing of God's word will enable him to follow it faithfully. And of course, the same is true for us. Joshua took these instructions seriously all his life. And by doing so, he was empowered to fulfill his calling. Joshua not only held fast to the word of God himself, but he also instructed all the people to hold fast to the word of God. In Joshua chapter 23, verse 6, Joshua says to the people, "Be very strong to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left." And Joshua also tells the people that this book of the law is no mere instruction manual, but it is a living word. It is a connection to the life of God himself. Still in Joshua 20, chapter 23, Joshua says, verses 8 to 11, "You shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you the great and strong nations. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. One man of you puts to flight 1,000, since it is the Lord your God who fights for you, just as he promised you. Be very careful, therefore, to love the Lord your God." So Joshua exhorts the people to be very careful to love the Lord their God. The Bible blends together love for God with love for the Word of God. And that's why the psalm writers who love the Lord are so full of praise for God's Word. And one example of that is Psalm 119, verse 103, where the psalmist writes, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." So regular, careful reading of God's word brings to us a sweet sense of God's presence. Now, at the end of Joshua's life, Joshua said to the people in chapter 23, verse 14, "And now I am about to go the way of all the earth, and you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one of them has failed." What a wonderful testimony from Joshua. Not one word of God has failed. That was his personal experience. Also at the end of Joshua's life, much land had been claimed by Israel. But even the land that had been claimed still needed to be consolidated. And there was yet more land that needed to be claimed. But Joshua's role in the taking hold of the promised land, his role was complete. The Lord had pointed out to Joshua the necessity of the word of God in his life in order for his life to be a success. Success for God's people is to be faithful to God, to love him, to cling to him, to hold fast to his word, to trust his promise to be fulfilled in God's way and in God's timing. I think I'd like to finish with looking at the well-known declaration of Joshua. Joshua told the people to choose for themselves who to serve. And he said to them, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So may we also follow God faithfully, and may we willingly embrace the test of faith and hold fast to the promise of God. Amen.
Thank you, Andy. We will close this part of the service with a song, and then I think we've got plenty of time for everyone to stay here before we go for refreshments, if there are any today. I don't know if there are any today. Yes? Okay. Those who can, let's stand together. That you gave to all those people in the Old Testament that continues with us today, that you promised never to